Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. We're happy you're joining us here on this rainy Tuesday morning. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete. I don't play sports anymore, but I do write about them. I do talk about them on the radio. I do all I can with them. Joining me in studio is a former member of the PLU women's basketball team. Her name is Lacey Nicholson, and Lacey, you've been dealing with an ankle injury. Has it gotten any better?
It's gotten a lot better.
Okay.
I can actually walk on it now. Yeah. I can actually run on it now, so no complaints. So
those and are better. She played on it on Sunday.
Played on it.
Oh, wow. Toughened through it. The voice you just heard is a current member of the PLU football team. He wears number 87. He's a tight end. His name is DJ Winter. DJ, how are you today?
I'm good. Another day, another morning. Just got to keep on grinding.
Spring break is
looming
in the near future.
Yes.
We can
yes,
see the light.
Yes, it is.
Rounding out the starting 3.5, he is a former member of the PLU men's basketball team. His name is Drew Artisoni. Drew, how are you today?
I'm doing well. It's the best time of the year. The most college basketball ever on national TV. Makes me very happy. Makes homework go a lot easier when I have some good college basketball games to watch. Lots of good mid-major championships in the last 2 days that have come down to OT and buzzer beaters. It's been a lot of fun basketball to watch lately, so I'm doing fantastic.
All right, we want to remind those of you who are listening right now that if you want to call into the show and give us your thoughts on anything we're talking about, you can do it at 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. If you want to check out the full podcast of this show and all the others that we've ever done here on Laser, you can do that at mastmedia.plu.edu. Go under the search bar on top, go under radio, and go under sports podcast, where all the episodes will be there. If the full episodes aren't your thing, if you only want to hear like a clip of anything you heard today, you can do it at YouTube. Log on to YouTube, type in Half Athlete Radio. There's a picture of the four of us. That's our page.
We look good.
Yeah, we do. Check us out there. All right. So let's jump right into it. DJ, what do you got on your mind this week?
Okay, so over the weekend, I got the blessed opportunity to go to the Tacoma Dome and watch some basketball. And there was this one guy. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of him, but his name is Michael Porter Jr. And
who's
I
that?
Got...
He's okay at that basketball thing, huh? He's all right.
Yeah. So, it was the 3A state title. Not Rainier Beach. Garfield against Nathan Hale, and Michael Porter Jr. is obviously on Nathan Hale, and he had a quiet first half, but in the second half he started picking it up. His teammates found him more. He ended up with 27 points, 17 rebounds, and 4 blocks on his way to Nathan Hale's first state title in school history. And as we just heard last night, he will now for sure be going to the University of Washington because Lorenzo Romar, it was announced last night that he will be retaining his job. And I think this is big for not only like the city of Seattle, but for UW as a school, because this man, and notice I say man, he's the next great thing in college basketball. He's the next great thing in the NBA. And I'm hopping on the bandwagon here because this was the first time I got to see him play in person. And he is going to be the guy that puts UW back on the map. I don't think even bad coaching could bring this guy down. He's just that good. And it was cool watching him play because you don't get to see – I mean, you get to see good talent here in the city of Seattle and the area of Tacoma, but you don't get guys like Michael Porter Jr. And I'm excited to see where he goes next year with UW and in the future in the NBA because he is going to be the next great superstar.
DJ,
yes.
That's fantastic because I couldn't disagree with you more.
Lay it on him.
Lay it on him. No, but seriously, like – There's a reason that guys like this go to UW. It's because there is no structure. You're allowed to do whatever you want, and you can have a very, very severe case of Gitmeinitis.
Gitmeinitis.
I like that.
I just want to be here to get mine.
Yeah.
And that's why they go to UW, because Lorenzo Romar doesn't coach. He just rolls the balls out. I mean, he was going to wherever Lorenzo Romar was going to be no matter what. Because
he's his godfather.
Yep. And, well, his father is on the coaching staff. So, at the end of the day, we always knew he was going to UW. It was going to be the difference if he was going to UW or he was going to go to wherever Lorenzo Romar would get hired next, Missouri. But that would – it just doesn't matter because he's going to go to UW now.
Yep.
He's going to be very, very good, and the team's going to be less than average again. Because it doesn't matter if you have one really good player, as we've seen this year. Yeah, Markel Fultz, yeah, they've had a couple decent games, but it's only been when Markel's had career nights. So yeah. I think you're going to see the exact same thing. And we have no idea how he's going to be in the NBA. We have no idea yet.
Yeah.
All I know is that he's a really, really dominant high school player who can jump out of the gym. Let's see if he has a more rounded game in college when you get guarded by the top Pac-12 talent, or Pac-10 talent, excuse me, and then the next level NBA is a whole new ballgame.
Yeah, yeah. Lacey?
You totally took the words out of my mouth, Drew. I was going to say something similar. Last year, we kind of saw the same thing with Markel Fultz being seventh in his recruiting class. Had high hopes for the team then. and he was unable to lead the team to success. Although he did find individual success, he was recently named All Pac-12 first team, which is awesome. But UW is ranked 11th in the Pac-12. He's not bringing success to the team. He's, like Drew said, bringing success to himself and getting his money every night on the court. And he's going to be out of there after this season. Same thing with probably Porter Jr. He's going to go there for 1 year, be a stud individual player, and probably be out of there within one season.
No, yeah, he's a one and done.
Yeah.
And it's true, and it's really sad because Markel Fultz is supposed to be, what, the number one projected overall pick?
Yeah.
Because he is the perfect NBA prototypical point guard. Well, Michael Porter Jr., body-wise, is the perfect NBA prototypical wing.
And then you have two more guys in the ESPN Top 100 joining Michael Porter Jr. and DeJounte Davis and Jalen Noel, who also played in the state title. And then you could also have Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, DeJounte Porter,
coming.
He might be able to come. So I think that's what's different about this recruiting class is you have four guys that are going to come in and start. DeJounte, Jalen, and DeJounte, I guess, again.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll be one and dones, but I think the mixture of the guys now getting older and like Dom Green, Matisse Thybulle, Noah Dickerson, David Crisp, the mixture of them getting older and having these four guys come in could make the difference, and you could see UW in the top quarter of the Pac-12 and making a run in the NCAA tournament.
Okay, we got to wrap this up. Just know that UW has the third best recruiting class in the country coming in next year, and a wise man once told me it's not about the X's and O's, it's about the Johns and Joes. All right, here we go.
I like it.
We're going to move on to the UW women's team. Check out this audio recap that Lacey Nicholson did earlier in the week.
The women's Pac-12 tournament tipped off last Thursday, March 2nd, at the Key Arena in Seattle. Because UW is ranked third in the conference, they earned a bye in the first round of play. Oregon, however, who is ranked sixth in the Pac-12, had to compete on Thursday night. They defeated Arizona to advance to tip off against UW on Friday. The arena was packed by 8:30 on Friday night, and despite playing the night before, the Ducks came out energized, shooting 40% from the field and 48% from three. Junior guard Lexi Bandeau was creating offense for the Ducks all night long, knocking down 9 of 16 from the field, 5 of 7 from downtown. She tallied 23 points for the night. Unfortunately, it was not the same story for the Dogs, who struggled on the offensive end. Kelsey Plum's 34 points could not get the job done as UW shot 21% from beyond the arc and just 55% from the line. Not a typical night for the Huskies. With 11 total lead changes throughout the 40 minutes of action, this game came down to the final seconds. The Ducks trail by 1 with 10 seconds to go, and what does Oregon do? They get the ball in the hands of Conference Freshman of the Year Sabrina Ionescu. She got fouled on a hard drive right and heads to the line. With complete focus and ice in her veins, Ionescu knocks down both free throws to give her team a one-point lead. The Dogs then advance the ball, and with just 4 seconds remaining, Kelsey Plum is unable to get an open look, missing a contested shot at the top of the key as time expires. The Oregon Ducks upset UW and all-time leading scorer Kelsey Plum to move on to the Pac-12 tournament semifinals. On Monday, March 13th, University of Washington will find out who they will face in the first round of the women's NCAA tournament. The games will begin on March 17th. I'm Lacey Nicholson, and that was your latest UW update.
I think that's why UW, you know, they dropped to 3 in the latest bracket rankings coming out of that West. They dropped to 3, which made their road, I almost think, a little bit easier. Yeah. In terms of the teams they have to play now, because they moved a bracket, but it's so tough, man. Like, they're going to have a tough road.
I think it's cool that in women's basketball, you get to host, like, 2 games. So they'll get to host maybe one against, they were talking about the champion from the Big West.
Yep.
So probably UC Davis. But I just think that's kind of cool about the women's tournament, is you get to host like two games at most, but I think UW will do just fine. Yeah. Like Drew was saying, it makes their road easier in my opinion. But I'll be interested to see what Lacey has to say.
I mean, I know they wanted a Pac-12 title, Lacey. Yeah, like, I know they wanted that.
No,
but
I think
this may pay off for them.
It may be better for them too, as well as mentally, they might not have come into that game as mentally prepared as they should have. Maybe just assuming that they could get that win against Oregon, and this might be a good wake-up call for them heading into the tournament. So I'm excited to see what they have.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Mariners spring training, and it's a light time in the baseball world. The games don't mean much. Everyone's just trying to get their work in,
especially with the World Baseball Classic.
That's true. A lot of guys are gone for the World Baseball Classic. Yesterday was Leonis Martin's birthday, and the team hired a mariachi band to come play him happy birthday in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
The mariachi band wasn't done. For the rest of practice, for the rest of their 3-hour practice, they followed Martin around playing songs.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did.
So Martin's a center.
This is why we love baseball.
Martin's a center fielder. They were taking infield, outfield. The mariachi band was on the warning track, strumming away and playing a song. So my question for the three of you as athletes, is there a prank that you pulled on a teammate, or have you been pranked by a teammate where it was just fun? Do you have a fun story about getting pranked or being the one that pranks someone?
I know I don't.
I mean,
you
don't?
You know, I can't think of anything.
I mean, I have some like freshman like rite of passage stuff in high school as a freshman on varsity when we had to go on the varsity trip. The seniors made us wear Burger King crowns and fairy wings out in public wherever we went. That's a fun one. That's kind of like a rite of passage deal. Like, there's two approaches you could take to like team pranks like that and stuff. You can either like try to fight it as much as you want, which always ends up in you getting it twice as bad.
Yep. Yep.
Or you can take the Gandhi approach, which is the approach I took, is whatever you do to me is okay. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
There's two approaches you can take. I think your center fielder there, I think he took the Gandhi approach. I think he wore it well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he look like he was enjoying it? Someone said he was singing along and having fun with it.
Yeah, he borrowed. He actually borrowed one of their sombreros and was taking infield, outfield with the sombrero.
Oh, my God.
That is the way to do it. That's how you deal with things like that.
I guess one thing I can think of was when I first came here, we go to Breakaway, and you have to sing. Well, let me rephrase that. You don't have to in this day and age.
No hazing, right?
Yes, no hazing.
It's a choice.
You are asked.
Because that's very mean. You are asked to sing a song, and so
that's great team bonding stuff. Just like right out there, like putting yourself out there like that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I decided to go with the classic "I Want It That Way." And
yes,
can you sing it right now?
No, I'm not going to sing it right now. But I mean, it was fun. It wasn't too bad. You have your embarrassing moment, but then that's really it. Mm-hmm. But
right.
Lacey, you got one. Have you pranked anyone? If you haven't been on the receiving end, you've probably been on the giving.
I actually have been on the receiving end. In high school, we did something similar where every year we'd travel down to Oregon and we'd go out to dinner as a team, and the freshmen, the upperclassmen would be able to dress up the freshmen in whatever we wanted. So there are lots of fun stuff, avatar suits,
that's
afro wigs, fun stuff.
Which is all in good fun. It's like team bonding stuff because, like, when you put yourself out there in, like, those situations or, like, you prank a teammate like that, it always ends up in, like, that's something you talk about because you won't talk about the games you won and lost, like, 20 years from now. You're going to talk about moments like DJ at Breakaway singing I Want It That Way.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's been 4 years since I – I mean, it's – oh, excuse me, 8 years since I went on that basketball trip, and that's the part I'll tell you about my freshman basketball experience. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Let's do our half story real quick. We're going to go back to the Tacoma Dome for this half story. It was on the boys' side of the bracket during the 3A, 4A high school basketball tournaments, state tournaments over the weekend. Reigning two-time 4A state champion Federal Way High School was trailing Richland by two in the quarterfinal round of last weekend's basketball tournament. Federal Way called a timeout with 5.7 seconds left. And when the team broke the huddle with a chance to tie, six players came back out onto the court.
Tough deal.
Ball was put in play. Federal Way was charged with a technical foul. Richland two free throws and the ball back, and Federal Way would go on to lose by four, ending their shot at a three-peat.
That is horrible.
So as an official, it's your job to count the players on the floor before you enter the ball in.
Thank you.
That's all I'm going to say.
Are you going to blame a referee for not saying, hey, get off the court or else you're going to get in trouble here?
No. Like, as a ref, like what the refs do is what you're trained to do in officials training, because I've been through official training, is you're supposed to count.
And you're not
supposed to start play until there are 5-on-5 on the floor.
And in that situation,
that's just the case. And in that situation, especially, you count.
Yeah, thank you. I would agree with that.
Know the clock, know the situation.
But you also have to put a little bit of blame on the coach.
Oh, definitely.
And the players, for that matter. Like, you know, when you're walking out, how many guys are with you. And the coach should definitely have communicated that better. But I think for the refs to do that in a state game.
What are they supposed to do?
Well, I don't know.
When you come out,
Put the ball in play. Like, give the coach a warning or something. I don't know.
The human element comes into this, and I mean, we all make mistakes.
The athletes are going to blame the coach, the referees.
Yeah,
the athletes
are
going to.
It's their job. It's part of their job.
It's not just the refs. It's the coaches. It's the players. It's just all around. I mean, you can't place the blame on one single aspect. You just got.
And you're going with the referees. All of you are going with the referees.
Yes,
instead of the coaches and the players.
Yes, because it's their job. So, Mr. Umpire, relax.
And the coaches and players are caught up in the moment of the game. I mean,
it's the referee's job to count.
And it's illegal to walk out there with six players on the court.
When the ball's in play, though.
So a little bit's on
the
players, too.
When the ball's in play. So as a ref, you hold the ball before you prepare to check it in, Christian. You count. It's your job. It's what you're taught to do.
And how much time until...
And how much time, yes.
Probably 15 seconds when the players break the huddle and by the time the ball's put into play.
So it's like 33% on the refs, 33% on the players, 33% on the coach.
I didn't realize it would go to this length. Wow. All right. It's time for a short break. When we come back, it's going to be a time for another edition of Lacey's Lutes. Find out who she talked to. Don't go anywhere. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Lute Air Student Radio.
I'm Lacey Nicholson, and it's time for a PLU Sports audio recap. On Wednesday, the Lutes played two games against Central Washington. They won the first 3-1 and fell short to the Wildcats in Game 2, losing 11-2. With a quick turnaround, PLU traveled to Oregon for a conference series against Lewis and Clark. Anna Overland drove in 5 runs in the first game as the Lutes would go on to win 12-1 in just 5 innings. Overland stayed hot at the plate, driving in 2 more runs in Game 2. Ellie Rossback pitched a complete game, allowing just 1 run. The Lutes would win 5-1. The teams played 2 more games on Sunday. Marissa Miller pitched a complete game shutout, giving up 3 hits while striking out 4. The offense scored 3 runs in the fourth as the Lutes won Game 3, 5-0. Game 4 was close until Anna Lennox hit a 3-run home run in the top of the 6th inning. Rossback pitched another complete game, this time striking out 6. The Lutes are undefeated in conference with a record of 6-0. PLU hosts George Fox this weekend with doubleheaders scheduled for Saturday and Sunday. I'm Lacey Nicholson, and that was a PLU Sports Audio Recap.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
welcome back to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I am PLU's half athlete, joined by former member of the PLU men's basketball team and Drew Artisoni. Joined by a former member of the PLU women's basketball team in Lacey Nicholson. And the only current athlete left on the roster is DJ Winter.
Yo, yo.
Of PLU football. So it's time for a little bit of Lacey's Lutes. Here we go.
I'm here with Amanda Hartley. Amanda, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself, some general stuff?
I'm a senior. I'm an elementary ed major with a math endorsement, and I'm on the softball team here at PLU.
Awesome. So I've kind of heard that you really embrace the term of being a student athlete. I know you're able to study away the last couple months. Can you tell us where you were and kind of walk us through what you did there?
I was in Namibia, Africa for 2 months, and I was student teaching. I was in a grade 7 math class, and I was able to be the teacher for 2 months. My teacher wasn't in the classroom a lot of the time, and I was able to teach these kids the way I learned to teach here at PLU.
Awesome. So Africa, was there anything, I mean, completely different culture over there, was there anything that stood out to you or any memorable moments when you were there?
One very memorable moment for me was one of the kids came in during his break time, which he wouldn't do because he loves his break time. He came in and told me he's going to miss me the most when I leave because I have such a kind heart. And he's one of the kids that all the teachers have a hard time with behavior-wise, and it was really cool for him to come in and say that to me.
And so what grade do you teach here in the U.S.?
I teach grade 6 math here.
Okay, so similar grade. What would you say, comparing the two schools that you were able to work at, what's been more challenging, teaching here in the U.S. or teaching in Africa, or kind of what are the differences?
I'd say Africa was more challenging for me because the kids know as an American I'm going to be very soft and nice to them, and they would act out a lot of the time, but I was able to show them that talking to them and being kind can also lead to better behavior, and being able to show them that that's what I do in America really helped them understand that it can work as well.
So outside of the teaching experience, was there any free time that you had down in Africa where you could kind of do your own thing or go outside and experience the country more?
Yeah, we had weekends where we went around the country, and we went, one of the most memorable trips for me was called Nankuse Animal Sanctuary, where we were able to hang out with some baboons, and there were tame baboons, and we actually were able to hold them, and they would jump around on us, and it was amazing.
All right, so switching over to the softball side of things, when you signed up for this trip to go to Namibia, I'm sure you knew that you were going to be starting season around the same time, and correct me if I'm wrong, but did you have to miss the first couple weeks of your softball season?
Yes, I did. We started practicing in January, and then I had to miss the first 2 weekends of games. The team went to California while I was in Namibia, which I didn't really like. I wanted to go on that trip, but I wasn't going to pass up the Namibia trip for anything. So,
and what was that conversation like with your coach? I know she's a new coach this year. Was that a tough conversation to have?
Not for me, maybe for her a little bit, because I'm a senior, and she really wanted me to be a leader, and I still am. But to be gone for preseason made an impact. It was a good conversation, though, because she knew that it was something that was important to me.
So having it be your senior year, what do you kind of expect out of the team this year?
Well, as a senior, I expect great things from our team. We're looking really, really good so far. They went 5-1 in California, which was awesome. And we actually just swept Lewis and Clark this last weekend 4-0. So we're doing well.
So who do you have next coming up?
George Fox at home this weekend.
And what do you expect from them?
They're a good team, so we'll see. We got just as good hitters, just as good defense, though, so should be good games.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, Amanda, and good luck this season.
That's really, really cool, man, that she went to Africa. Like, most student-athletes like, around here, like, don't get opportunities like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys. Would you pass up the first couple weeks of your senior season to study away?
Hold on, DJ. Let's say this at the same time. 3, 2, 1. Absolutely not. No. Absolutely not.
I mean, I get like where she's going with like the whole Africa thing, and I hear she might go back and teach there. I put my blood, sweat, and tears into the sport I play, and I can't, especially my senior season, I would not want to miss any games to and go do whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just to ask like a different question, like how much like gym time and ball and glove time do you get to put in over that couple month period you're in Africa?
Yeah.
Like how zero. How rusty do you come back?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Like off-season preparation is so important, especially mm-hmm. at this level. Like I don't know physically what my shot would look like if I didn't get to shoot a ball for 3 months.
Yeah.
It would be ugly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's not brush over this. It is cool that she did get to go to Africa.
No, it's a great thing for her future, too, looking beyond college.
And I'm sorry, and you also have to consider, when she's out of college, when is she going to have an opportunity to go to Namibia ever again?
Probably not.
So you take... You win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
And she, and in the broad scheme of things, she's only missing a very small chunk of her season. She missed the very beginning part of her season, and now she's going to be able to finish it out.
Yeah. Let's hope she can get caught up and be on the level that she was at last year.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to go football heavy. We understand that it's March, but there's a lot of football to talk about. So don't go anywhere. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. I'm Christian Bond, and it's time for a POU Sports Audio Recap. The Pacific Lutheran University baseball team traveled to Linfield to take on the Wildcats in a 3-game series. Game 1 was tied until Linfield scored 2 runs in the bottom of the 6th inning. They would add 4 more in the bottom of the 8th, going on to win 6-1. The POU offense struggled as they stranded 13 runners on base. It took extra innings to decide Game 2. In the top of the 10th, Landon Packard was on second base when Corey Vanderstay came to the plate. Vanderstay singled to left, bringing in Packard to give the Lutes a 3-2 lead. Vanderstay advanced to third on a Cole Johnson single and would score on a wild pitch. The Lutes would go on to win by a final score of 4-3. Game 3 was tied at 2 after 2 innings until the Lutes broke it open in the 3rd. Anthony Gossin was on 3rd and scored when Connor Cantu grounded out to the first baseman. Ben Welch doubled down the left field line, bringing in Matt Vick. Packard brought in Welch on a single to left, giving the Lutes a 5-2 lead. PLU would add 4 runs in the 5th, going on to win 9-4. The Lutes are 7-2 in conference, putting them atop the Northwest Conference standings. POU hosts Pacific in a 3-game series this weekend. The two teams play a doubleheader on Saturday. The series wraps up with a game on Sunday. I'm Christian Bond, and that was a POU Sports Audio Recap.
My hair is kind of different. Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Together we can change the game!
DJ's welcome, hyped.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. My name is Christian Bond. I'm PLU's half athlete, joined by former member of the PLU men's basketball team, Drew Artisoni, former member of the PLU women's basketball team, Lacey Nicholson, and DJ Winter. He's a tight end on the PLU football team.
Fire Goodell.
So... If you want to talk a bunch of NFL draft stuff and maybe a little Seahawk towards the end of the segment here, if you want to call in and give us your thoughts, you can do it at 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. Check us out on YouTube. Go to your search bar, type in Half Athlete Radio. Subscribe to our page. That's where clips of the show will be weekly. You can check it out there. Also, if you want to hear the full podcast, everything that was said and played on this show today, you can do it. Go to mastmedia.pou.edu and check us out there. All right. NFL Combine was last weekend.
Yes, was Friday, Saturday.
Finished up
Sunday. Yesterday. Yeah, Friday, Saturday.
Tell
Sunday,
me about it, DJ.
So as you all know, we all focus on the numbers and how good the numbers make a player, right?
Right. Right? Sure, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's some truth to that, but... So Adidas put out this this ad that if someone was to break Chris Johnson's record of the 40, which was 424, they would get an island. But I mean, if you look deeper into it,
what do you mean an island? Like an actual island?
Like Adidas was willing to give whoever broke the 40 an island.
I'm sorry, when I read that,
time out.
When I read that in the ad, I was like, an island?
Yeah. A real island. All these companies have islands, right? That they use for like corporate retreats and everything. And so yeah, they were willing to give him like if you ran the 40 and they're their Adidas cleats, their specialized 40 cleats, and you broke the record, they buy you. They just gift you an island.
However, you could also accept $1 million. You would have to pay taxes on that island.
Yeah, which are rough.
Yeah, or if you were to terminate the contract, you would have to. Either give the island back or the $1 million eventually back or something like that.
There's a lot of red tape island or $1 million
strings
deal.
Yeah.
There is lots of them.
So
lots of strings attached.
After all of this, John Ross broke the record with a time of 4.22. By the way, John Ross is a Husky, so that's why we're kind of focusing on that. And he was wearing Nike cleats, so unfortunately he did not get the island. When asked afterwards... why he didn't wear the Adidas cleats, he said he didn't know how to swim. So, I mean, that seems like a pretty valid case for not wanting to.
I don't have a boat and I don't know how to swim was, I think, what his interview was.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
And the smart choice.
Come on. There is no better way he could have answered that than that right there. Yeah. Like, someone trained him very well before he went to the combine for his interviews because that was hilarious.
That is hilarious.
He's winning the interviews already and he hasn't even been drafted yet.
He's already more entertaining than Rex Ryan.
Yep.
That is just too funny, guys. I was cracking up reading this. But who's to say John Ross would have beat the record had he been wearing Adidas cleats is my concern. And Nike had a similar outlook on the situation. They tweeted recently after, there's only one option when you want to go 4-2. And then they advertised their shoe that John Ross was wearing when he ran that. And they are called the Nike Vapors. And unfortunately, the Nike Vapors are exclusive to the Combine. So, Deej, I'm sorry, you're not going to be getting those, and you're going to probably run your usual 4.6 next season.
Which is one of the it's pretty.
That's moving for a glorified tackle.
Yeah,
that's moving for a glorified tackle. But hey, congrats to John Ross. It was great. I think the funniest thing. Was that Nike threw shade at Adidas at the very end of all this, and they took a picture of
Uncle
him
Phil.
Wearing the Nike cleat with his Combine shirt in his hand, and they took a picture of him, and it literally said, congrats on it, the record-breaking run, John Ross, and then in quotes on the bottom with an emoji, it said, you're on an island of your own. I was like, Nike, way to win Twitter. That is very well done. Nike did a fantastic job with it.
To put this into perspective, I go as a half athlete on this radio show. My fastest 40 time ever was 5.3.
Woo!
And my coaches made me run it again because they didn't believe I had ran it that fast.
I want to see it. Can you do it today?
Nope. I could not touch 5 today.
Maybe with the Nike Vapors, right?
I ran a 4.89.
Possibly.
In high school. I'm slow as hell.
See, that doesn't feel that much slower, but it definitely is. 5.3 is way slower.
Let's get 3.5 athletes out on the track this afternoon.
So let's get Christian out there like Rich Eisen. Yeah. The full suit 40.
Yeah. I'd be into it.
I bet you break he ran a 6.02. You got that.
I don't know if I have that in me.
Oh, you really got that, no problem. Come on, half.
I don't think I do.
Come on, half.
All right, there's other stuff that happened or didn't happen,
happen
at the combine. Drew, you got this one.
So Oklahoma running back Joe Mixon runs a 4.5 40. It's 266 pounds. And based on only football ability, because that's all we can base him on, NFL evaluators value him as a top 50 pick. But Mixon must first outrun his past. The league barred Mixon and others, including Ole Miss quarterback Chad Kelly from the 2017 NFL Scouting Combine. Invoking a policy put in place in 2016 to bend to political correctness, Roger Goodell, to prohibit attendance to this event for any players with serious legal transgressions on the record. Domestic violence education and prevention are NFL initiatives, and Mixon represents another reason why that's the case. NFL, intention or not, scouts are not necessarily weighing domestic violence history as a part of their evaluation. Notorious offender Ray Rice might be an exception, but there's plenty of evidence in pro sports to support the idea that talent brings second chances. So the only reason Joe Mixon is currently still out of Oklahoma is because he's that good. Mm-hmm. And I understand why the NFL wanted to deny him and others, because from him and others, access to the combine. Listen, domestic violence is horrible. So, you know, it's a non-starter. Right, let's just call it that. It's just not going to work for me. You know, you have some drugs, you have some, you know, run in with the law in the past, fine. Okay, but domestic violence is, you're done for me. So here's the deal. Either allow him to come to the combine under the veil of saying, hey, we should allow the teams to properly vet him, because that's part of the combine. Part of the combine is just as much the interview process and getting to know the kids as much as it is about the numbers they put up. So I think it would have been valuable for NFL GMs and NFL teams to have at least gotten to interview the kid to see what they were getting in bed with, because right now it's a big unknown. The NFL was worried about their coverage being hijacked. Fantastic. But I think it's been more of a story now that they said they didn't come, because I don't think we'd be talking about it right now if he was. Yes, there would have been massive uproar for 2 days of the four of the combine. Great. But right now we're still talking about how he wasn't invited.
Yep.
And I think it's a little hypocritical by the NFL that you're willing to say, hey, no, we're not going to let you on the combine, but, you know, I'll let you in the league because we can still make money off of you. I think that's a little hypocritical in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you guys, but that was my two cents on the matter.
No, I'm in agreement with you. It's just another problem with the NFL and how they handle things. Like you said, they won't let him go to the combine, but they'll let him in the league. And like you were saying, it's hypocritical.
Pick!
And it's unfortunate because, like I stated, Fire Goodell, he needs to go. And we need a new face in there that can come in, change things up. But, yeah, like you're saying, it's hypocritical, and it's just as simple as that.
Lace?
I just have a hard time with the whole domestic violence thing. I mean,
as you should.
Yes.
As we all do.
I did a little research just to see how often it comes up in the NFL, and I found that there were 24 cases in 2015. Something like that, like a ridiculous number, which 24 more than there should be. And especially with these guys that have big names and are on this platform where they know everyone's watching them, like, watch your behavior and set a good example and represent your team and yourself, in my opinion. And the fact that you're even allowed back onto a playing field is, I mean, it's hard for me to compare because I'm a college athlete. I'm not playing a sport for my job. I'm not making money. So it's a little different. But to me, being able to perform is a privilege. And I think at that level, they might be taking advantage of that. And they know that they will get a second chance because of their name and who they are. Yeah. And it's just frustrating.
The two alternatives I would have suggested the NFL, either A, ban them completely. Mm-hmm. That's option A. Okay, fine. Which would have been perfect in accordance with all their league initiatives, with huge air quotes around that they ignore depending on how talented the prospect is. First off. Or at least let him come to the combine. Let these teams properly vet him and talk to him, and just refuse to promote him. Don't put him on TV. Mm-hmm. It's not that hard. Pick. Because yeah. I think if you just let him there and you just don't show him at the combine, great.
Yeah.
Let all the teams access to him. Everything's great. Fine. I'm 100% in. I just think you can't ban him for the sake of political correctness to try to, you know, make everybody happy and then say, you know what? No, we'll let you in the league. Pick. That's all I'm asking.
In October of 2015, I wrote a story for The Mast for the great Steve McGrain titled The NFL National Fugitive League. At the time, one NFL player had been arrested for 80 consecutive months, or 6 years, whatever you want to call it. It's frustrating that this league remains the most popular in America, when guys who could get away with just being dumb thinking they're above the law.
Yeah.
But I guess it doesn't really matter as long as I win my fantasy league on Sunday.
See, that's the problem, though, Christian.
And you got to know that the NFL has majority ownership stakes in all those fantasy leagues.
Yeah. My heart is, like, pulled two ways on this. Like, on one side, I feel like people can learn from their mistakes, and if they're genuinely, like, concerned about it and show mm-hmm. that they're concerned, I think they should be allowed another chance. But on the other hand, like, it's a problem in America. Like, grow the heck up.
I hear you.
You need to realize that you're better than this, and yeah, it's just frustrating.
Okay, we got to wrap things up, but I just got to ask, how many guys would be making these mistakes if they were either not in the NFL, they had a regular Joe Schmo job, and their job was on the line, or would they be making these mistakes if the NFL would actually ban a player from the league completely instead of just, oh, you're suspended for a couple games? Like, they know that they'll be back.
Four games is suspension. Four.
They're making these mistakes because they know that the consequences are not going to be that harsh.
Very valid. Very valid.
Since we're talking football right now, I want to jump on. Free agency starts on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want your opinion real quick, all of you, on what area you feel the Seahawks should address the most.
You get rid of Jimmy Graham, you trade him, and you get Brandon Marshall. You got to focus
on
a
wide receiver.
Yep.
Okay.
Wide
so
receiver for
Drew
DJ.
Drew completely disagrees with you. DJ, once again, this is becoming a theme of this show. The Seahawks have Pro Bowl talent in every position. Quarterback, tight end, wide receiver, D-line, linebacker, cornerback, safety. What is the one position group I did not mention?
O-line.
The O-line. Huh. They have no talent at the O-line. They have the lowest paid offensive line in the entire league, and they don't have a lineman who'd start on any other NFL team at this point. They are so young. Pete Carroll talked about it in his Combine interview that is their major area of focus up in the draft and the Combine, and good Lord, do they need it.
Yeah, I agree.
Talked about Joe Mixon. If a lot of teams pass on him because of the baggage that he comes with, what are we going to talk about when he's a Seahawk?
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
Seahawks. Seahawks need help at running back. Thomas Rawls hasn't proven that he's anything. He had half a good season.
I think you go McCaffrey first round.
Christian, first round, it's worth a first round pick instead of an offensive lineman.
Ezekiel Elliott has now removed the taboo of taking the running back in the first round. Has completely removed the taboo. Now that worked, they'll do it for the next 5 years until another one of them works.
Running back's a need, but I think that the offensive line is a bigger need. Yeah. I think they'll use that on an offensive lineman. And like I said, if Mixon slips to the fourth or fifth round,
pick him up.
Good chance he's going to be a Seahawk. So
pick him up.
That'll be great. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a short break, but it's time for everyone's favorite game when we come back. That's right, it's Name That Loot. Don't go anywhere. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
I'm DJ Winter, and it's time for a PLU Sports Audio Recap. The Lutes went down to Linfield this weekend and competed in the Eric Anderson Memorial Icebreaker. The Lutes had a pretty good weekend, winning five events overall. Brad Hodkinson led the way in the 10,000-meter race, finishing with a time of 30 minutes and 23 seconds. Richard Johnson led the sprinters with a win in the 200-meter dash with a time of 22.63. Johnson was a part of two relay wins for the Lutes, as the team took the 4x100 relay and the 4x400-meter relay. In the throwing events, Lucas Hatton finished first with a throw of 136 feet, 6 inches in hammer. The Lutes look to continue this success next weekend at PLU, where they will host their home meet. In golf, both the men's and women's team traveled to the University of Puget Sound Invitational at Gold Mountain Golf Course. Mitchell Baldridge was the top performer on the men's side, carding a 143 over two rounds. He finished tied for fourth. The next time PLU men's golf team play will be against St. Martin's at Salish Cliffs Golf Course. For the women, Desiree Hazelwood finished just outside the top 10 with a score of 172. The team finished third overall, and the women start the Whitworth Invitational at Gamble Sands on March 22nd. I'm DJ Winter, and that was a PLU Sports Audio Recap.
Welcome to my block party. Glad you can make it.
The only triple doubles you get come with fries.
Last time you blocked someone, you were online.
I can do this all day. Your moves are just gay.
Using gay to mean dumb or stupid, not cool.
Not cool.
Not in my house, not anywhere.
It's not creative. It's offensive to gay people.
And you're better than that.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. I'm Christian Bond. I'm POU's half-athlete, joined by Lacey Nicholson, formerly of POU Women's Basketball, a former member of the POU Men's Basketball Team, Drew Artisoni, and our current athlete, our tight end, DJ Winter. If you want to call us, you can do it at 253-535-7332, 253-535-7332. Check us out on YouTube, Half Athlete Radio. Also, check out mastmedia.pou.edu for the full podcast of the show. We're going to play a little Name That Loot. We're going to wrap things up here pretty quickly. I roll out a stat line, and the contestants buzz in and try to guess who it belongs to. So, Drew, I need to hear your noise. That's Drew. DJ. That's DJ. Lacey. That's Lacey.
Aww.
Here we go. Maybe. All right, here we go.
Maybe.
This person picked up his first career win on Sunday against Linfield. Lacey.
Jacob Gleichman? Oh, Linfield.
Incorrect.
Did our men's team play Linfield this week?
Yep. Oh. 3, 2, 1. Oh, Drew's going to give it a shot.
Andrew, Kurt, oh, I forget his name. It's Andrew something, I think. Can I get a half point? I think it's Andrew Curran.
Yep. You get it right. You read it right over my shoulder. Moving on. Drew gets a point. This person had three runs batted in against Elephant.
Who's Corey Vanderstay? I'm not reading anything over your shoulder.
That is correct. Corey Vanderstay. 2-0 Drew.
Hey, Corey's on fire.
He is on fire. Wait. This person was 2 for 3. Okay. What do you got for me, Drew?
It's Matt Vick.
What the hell?
What the? You can't say that on radio.
I can. It's my show.
Wait, what did he say?
Matt Vick is the correct answer. 2 for 3, oh, wow. Scored a run in game 2. Mm-hmm. I got to twist the computer even more. Okay. This person. This person was 3 for 4 with 3 runs batted in and scored 2 runs in game 1 against Lewis and Clark. Lacey.
Emily McConnell?
Incorrect.
No.
Elephant.
Who is Nicole Schroeder?
See that, ladies and gentlemen? I twist the computer and he gets one wrong. DJ, go for it.
Anna Overland.
Nope.
Point Christian. That was Samantha Simonson.
Very nice.
That was going to be my next guess.
This person was 3 for 4 with 1 run batted in game 2 against Lewis and Clark. 3, 2.
Hey, give it to me. My thing is messed up.
Lacey.
Becca Sorensen.
Good answer, Lacey. Lacey's on the board.
My app went all haywire on me.
There was 28 runs scored by POU softball this weekend. A lot of stats out there.
This person went 7 innings, gave up 3 hits, 2 walks, and it's the whistle. DJ.
Who is Marissa Miller?
That is correct. DJ's on the board. What do we got?
3-1-1, right?
3-1-1. I think I got 1-2.
3-1-1, half's got one.
This person had a 3-run dinger in game 4. Oh my gosh.
That was
Lacey.
Me. Lacey didn't even
buzz that was
in.
Me.
Oh, DJ, yeah. They
Who
sound alike.
Anna Overland.
No?
Incorrect.
Dang it.
It was a good guess, though. Drew.
Who's Catherine Hatlin?
Yeah, because Anna had a lot of runs batted in.
Everyone take note. The computer is facing away from Drew, and he stopped getting them right.
Oh, is that another?
You don't say. Lacey, you got a guess.
Sorry, my app is all messed
can
up.
Can I have a second guess?
No. Lacey gets 3, 2, 1. She did the audio recap. That's a point for me. Half Athlete Radio. It was Anna Lennox.
Shoot! I'm horrible.
All right, this is a 4-pointer. Okay?
Okay.
Name the 4x100 meter relay team that won their race on Sunday.
Ah.
Drew, go ahead.
Sean Bradley.
Yep.
Richard Johnson.
Yep.
The big, tall football player, number 80-something. I call him Gazelle because that's what he runs like, and it should be illegal to be that strong and that fast.
I'm not giving
not
that to you.
We're not telling you.
All right. You got any more guesses? There should be
Come
one.
Come on, Deej. Give it to Deej.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
2 points, Drew.
DJ's reading it right now.
No, so it's Carson Ketter.
Carson. Gosh darn it.
Richard Johnson. Sean Bradley.
Who's the fourth?
Brady Daly.
So you get 1 point. Carson Ketter was not a part of this relay.
What?
Brady Daly was.
Who sat?
It was Garrett Hittner, wasn't it?
Is it Garrett Hittner?
Garrett Hittner is right, Lacey. You get that point.
I was going to say Garrett Hittner.
So that,
Hittner.
Means, so that means you have three, I have three, and Lacey's
who's the,
got
Who's the Gazelle?
Two.
Were you talking about Carson Ketter or Garrett Hittner?
No,
I was talking about Carson, yeah.
Okay.
Carson usually does that.
Yeah, he usually does run that.
This person won the 200-meter dash in her collegiate debut. So you will not get this one right. Another point for Christian.
Okay, so now it's threes. Me, you, and DJ are all tied. So pick a tiebreaker question.
No one's going to throw a guess out.
No.
I don't know who it is. I'm sorry.
It was Andrea Conger.
Sweet.
Yeah, good for her. Way to go.
Hey, girl.
Andrea.
Good job, okay. Andrea.
This person finished 7th overall in the University of Puget Sound Invitational. Drew.
I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to say, who is Michaela Grady?
Nope.
It's a golf thing.
Oh, it's a golf thing? Oh, I thought it may have been the track meet.
Oh, I was going to guess track, too. Yeah.
DJ.
Who is Desiree Hazelwood?
That's a good try.
It's a good try.
Who, Invitational.
Dink, my app doesn't
okay.
work.
Okay.
Dink, dink.
Anna. Am I right on the first name? I don't know her last name.
No.
Shoot.
Okay, give us, come on, we gotta win this.
His name is Kyle Drug, D-R-U-G-G-E.
Kyle Drug.
Druge, maybe? I don't know. Sorry, Kyle, I don't know your name, but good job. Good job in the University of Puget Sound Invitational.
There's three people, me and DJ are tied, come on.
This person shot 172 through two rounds at the UPS Invitational. That's DJ.
That's Desiree Hazelwood, isn't it?
Nope. Drew.
Who is Thomas Huddleston?
Nope. Lacey, you want to throw up a guess?
I don't get another chance, do I?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. One sec.
One sec.
Three, two.
I'm gonna guess the same girl I guessed last time. Anna Jensen.
Man, we got horrible today.
Is that Mitchell?
This was Madison Laverne.
Man.
So that's it for Name That Loot, and I'm pretty sure I took home the title this week because y'all.
Right.
Y'all did not have very many. I find it very fascinating that when I get my my master sheet away from Drew, he cannot answer a question correct.
Well, it's okay. It's what happens when you win 18
He's
straight.
Caught.
Watch a Foot Locker commercial. Just because they're great all the time doesn't mean something's wrong.
Man, you got caught.
Watch
That's for me.
Locker.
I'm taking it in right now. Yes, go Christian. Way to do your homework. All right. That's going to do it for today's show. It's been so much fun. We want to thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Hit us up on YouTube, Half Athlete Radio. Listen to the podcast at mastmedia.plu.edu. Check out the Terrence Take podcast on Thursdays at 4. Also, there will be a new news show popping up sometime. I think it's on Fridays. So be sure to tune into that. You can also find those shows at mastmedia.plu.edu. So for DJ Winter, Lacey Nicholson, and Drew Artisoni, check us out next Tuesday from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. We're out of here. See ya.